Well, hi, this is Joanne Ray with Senior Marketing Specialist, and this is A Human Connection. I've been so extraordinarily blessed over the course of my career to meet some fascinating and super successful people, and now I get to bring those conversations to you. So I hope you enjoy, I hope you listen, and I hope we can learn along the way together. I was just telling our guest that I've had him on my list for a very long time, of somebody that I have always wanted to sit down and visit with. And I couldn't be more pleased to have as our guest today, Alan Pauly, who I've known way too long for many, many years. We'll get into that here in a minute. Some of our funny beginnings, both of us in this industry, but has worked his way to where you see the beautiful view of the skyline of Dallas as one of the vice presidents of marketing there at Integrity Marketing Group. So welcome, Alan Pauly.
Yeah, Joanne, thank you very much. I'm so excited to be here. I really appreciate the invitation. And then when I saw the list of people that you've interviewed prior to me, it's amazing that you would even ask me. So I feel very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Well, I always tell the story. This is people that have that I've met along the way, that I've been honored enough to know and work beside, and that have been mentors of mine that I've learned from. And you are absolutely on that list, Alan. And we'll get into a lot of the reasons why that is. But for those of you that maybe don't know you, why don't you give just a quick little bio and background of what got you to Integrity and then what you're doing now?
Okay, sure. Yeah, no, thank you. And yes, I would just echo that. The amazing people that you have interviewed, we're lucky enough to call friends and partners. And I'm sure we'll talk about that as we go along. But I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in a very small town. I had 48 people in my graduating class. That's how small we were. So I always tell people I either knew everybody or I was related to them in my town. Yeah. So, you know, kind of that was really the basis for who I've developed into, because I went to high school there and then went into college, was really probably there for the social part of college and not so much the learning. And actually surprised my parents one Wednesday afternoon. I walked in the front door and said, well, I just signed up for the Army and I'm leaving on Friday. And my parents had no idea. My father thought that was the best thing that could ever happen to me. My mother was a little concerned. But honestly, that was really important for me at that time in my life. I was a little wild and I needed a little structure and discipline in my life. And so I spent 3 years in Germany, which was a wonderful experience as well. I was a military policeman. And just to tell you how small world this was, I was in Berlin, Germany. And I was working what they called Checkpoint Charlie at the time for the Berlin Wall. And there was a person that was on the bus that saw me and said, "Hey, aren't you Alan Pauly?" And long story short was she was from my hometown. Her husband was from my hometown. And she was from my graduating class.
Oh, my God. People. Two out of the 48 were in Germany that day. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. So a small world. But yes. And then I came out, was a police officer. And I was single at the time, got married. And my mother would tell you that the first thing that happened to me that was good was the Army, because I needed some structure and some discipline. But the best thing that ever happened to me was when I married my wife. So that's what really catapulted me into the insurance business and really where you and I met, because I started as an agent selling Medicare supplement and final expense. And I got into it because as a police officer, I was making no money. I was making less than $20,000 a year. And I saw the future with my kids. And I'm like, you know, I'm not even going to be able to afford college doing this. And so I got in the insurance business, started as an agent. My first training session, my manager came and gave me my stack of leads. And what he gave me was a phone book that I needed to look up people that are named Wilma and Elmer, because those would be the people that were 65 years and older. And really, that's how I broke into business. But then I had a friend of mine that was working for a company called Pioneer Life and said, hey, we need some people with some insurance experience. Why don't you come apply? Which I did. And lo and behold, they hired me. I worked my way into being their vice president of licensing and commissions at the time. And that catapulted me into the insurance business. And now I've been in the business for over 30 years. And Pioneer Life's where you and I first met.
Absolutely. There's some trips that are just embedded in your brain, and I don't know why. But I definitely remember that one. I think that was the very first, I know it was the very first time I'd ever been to a carrier. And I was still very young in my career. We hadn't even started the brokerage yet. Yeah. I was nervous, scared. Oh my God. You know, so worried about what to wear and what to say and how to meet these people. And I've never been to, you know, I was in Chicago, they're in Schaumburg and Rockford both. And just, you know, my expectations were all completely way, you know, too fabricated, because I realized very quickly, oh, these are just people like me who, you know, love what we do and enjoy. You guys were good hosts, I remember. And I remember several people from your team that I met and that we worked so closely with. And so to, again, way, way, way back to finally meet those people that you worked with was such a joy. But yeah, I remember that trip very well.
Oh my gosh. And honestly, that really set the stage for what I'm doing today. Yeah. Because many of the, what they called back then were SGAs. Yeah. Many of them are our partners today.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. I worked in the home office for a couple of companies, Pioneer Life being one of them. And then there's a company down south that I was their vice president of commissions and licensing for many years. And then I got on the marketing side of things. That's where I got introduced to Brian Adams. And I was going to break away and actually start my own agency. I was a marketing vice president for a couple of large IMOs at the time. And even in all that transition, Joanne, you and I seem to keep in touch. Either the carrier or the marketing office we worked out of, we partnered a lot. And I always valued that, because I don't know, just you meet people in this industry and you just kind of have that kindred spirit, if you will, you know. And I always felt that with you and Dan as well, because you just had that air about you that welcomed me, and I felt comfortable always talking to you guys. And we did a lot of business together prior to me coming to Integrity.
And now look at us. As partners. And so walk us back. So you first met Brian Adams. Kind of tell us about that and what your first experience was with him and what that has now led to. But tell us about the beginning days of you working with Brian.
Yeah. So that was kind of a funny story, because I was going to start my own agency. And Brian started talking to me because I was going to use a program they call Legacy Safeguard as part of that. And as we talked, Brian said, you know, before you do that, why don't you come talk to me, because I might have an opportunity for you. And funny story about that was, as we talked, we probably talked a couple weeks, and it finally came to a point and said, Alan, before this goes any further, you have to tell your boss, who I was working for at the time, that you're talking to me about a possible position. And so I said to Brian, I said, are you promising me the job? And he said, no, I'm promising you an interview.
Oh, wow.
And so I said to him, I'm like, do you realize what you're telling me? Because my boss doesn't even know I'm leaving.
Man, you talk about a leap of faith, right?
But then it worked out. So, lo and behold, long story short, it came to work for Integrity. I actually moved from South Carolina to Dallas, Texas. I've worked for Integrity for 10 years, working with partners just like yourself on helping agents expand what they do and sell final expense and do it effectively. And I really love what I do, because one of the things that stood out to me as a new agent that was handed a phone book on who to call, I had to figure that out on my own. I had no scripts. My manager didn't give me any training. He just said, call these people. And I really just tried to figure it out myself and with other people that were in our office, because some of those were really good on the phone. So I went and listened to them and took what they were doing as their best ideas and plugged it in with what I did. But that helped me get passionate about what I do now, because if I can help agents really expand with what they do and give them some effective tools, that's a win for me. So I have the privilege of being able to do that.
Yeah. Isn't it funny to go back and think about your beginning story when you were just given a phone book? Sometimes, don't you think we overcomplicate things a little bit now? Think of all the systems and processes and data and technology and people and resources and money that is spent now on getting an agent to talk to a client, and you were handed a phone book and did quite well with it. So, my gosh.
And really,
advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah. Yes. No, you're absolutely right. And it's amazing how you kind of go back to some of those roots and realize what you did. And I didn't realize it at the time, but what I was learning and the effectiveness of what I did. And now really it's the same now. Maybe we change a few words and you know, phrases that we use, but essentially it's the same thing.
All right.
And it's a relationship business, as you know.
Yep.
And so being able to help those relationships, whether it be with the carriers, with the clients, with partners like you, and that's really what is the best thing about what we do, Joanne, is being able to work with you, first of all, and I, you know, call you friend. And even as you went, we talked earlier about the interview list. You know what? There are many people on that list that I could call right now, and I know they would help me if I needed help. Because not only are they partners, but they're friends, and they're the kind of people you want to hang with and be part of, because they're good people. We call it the campfire effect. Do you want to hang around people at the campfire? I think that's an AC. He started that phrase, but it's true. And the great thing about integrity and being part of it is these are people that you'd want to hang out with and be able to work with. And you call them friends. And that's what's great about what we do.
Oh, man, it has been. I think that anytime anybody asks me what it's been like to be a part of integrity, I said, everything negative that I was afraid of has not happened. And everything positive that I was hoping for has been multiplied by 1,000.
Yes.
You know, it's just, and it's all about the people. It's all about the relationships. It's all about the kindred spirit. I like that term that you use. You know, so many of us came from very similar backgrounds. I've credited Peter Nauert for lots of things. One, for providing you a job that we got to meet.
That's right.
But, you know, think of what he would be like today in this technology world. He was so far ahead of his time. Yeah. He was so far. He would be the Jeff Bezos or, you know, whatever of the insurance world, because he was so far ahead from a technology standpoint, but also understood, you know, relationships and people and partnerships and distribution and all that. So I think about that often, of him giving so many of who now we have as partners our first start in this thing called brokerage. So we owe, there's always somebody that we can think back to, right? That we kind of owe the beginning credit to. He would definitely want it in both of our minds.
Yes, no, that, you're absolutely right. And it's amazing to me, a common thread as I travel across the country working with our partners, that Peter Nauert's name comes up. It's amazing to me of the impact that person had in our business and with different agencies. And it's amazing to me to also be a part of that. I worked there 10 years. So I learned, you know, a lot from seeing him operate and the management staff there. So it was a good, certainly foundation for me. And I know organizations like yourself and others that got started in this business.
Absolutely. Another mentor we have in common that we both love and miss dearly is Mr. Cutler. You know, yes. I think that you got the pleasure of working maybe a little more closely than I did, but that was one guy that, my goodness, one, could never be duplicated ever. But two, he was always the person that people just flock yeah. to any event, any conference, any meeting, any time, any excuse whatsoever to sit at Shep Cutler's table.
That's right. That's right.
Anybody would do, right?
So I just wish I had his suit coats.
Yeah. Nobody could duplicate his flair for dress.
That's right.
Well, let's back up a little bit then. And so you talked about this bombshell that you came home from college one day and said, guess what, mom and dad, I'm not thinking about joining the military. I have joined the military. Both of us have adult children now. I can't imagine, you know, any of my children coming home and saying that. What, I know looking back why you felt that was a great decision, but what was it in that moment that gave you that, again, maybe leap of faith? Maybe that's a theme throughout here, but was it that? Was it what made you decide to do that huge decision without consulting maybe some of the important people in your life?
So, you know, growing up in a small town, I always just, I don't know, maybe, you know, God put it in my heart or my mind, but I always thought there was a big world out there for me to explore. And being in a small farm town, pretty, you know, self-contained, and I certainly didn't get out too much. I mean, if we went to our city that was about 30 miles away, that was a big deal for us, you know. Yeah. And seeing those Christmas lights, you know, there in the big city, and it was probably a city of about 30,000 people, that was a big deal. And so I thought there was a lot more, and probably the recruiter did his job, because he talked about Germany. He happened to be stationed over there, and so he talked about things that I could experience. And I just knew at that point, if I'd have stayed in college, I probably got myself in trouble. And so it was, you know, just because I wasn't doing what I needed to do to be successful in college. I didn't really learn that until I got in the Army and went to college while I was in the Army, you know, taking classes when I was there. But I needed that discipline, and I think the adventure of going to a foreign land was intriguing to me, and it turned out to be really one of the best decisions I made.
That's awesome. So in addition to Germany, anywhere else that you got to see that you were on your bucket list?
Yeah. So one of the beauties about being over there is I got to travel a lot. And so I went to Spain, and went to a Birch's Garden in Munich, and you know, Amsterdam, and just some of the surrounding area of Germany. One of the things, being a MP, we got to travel the countryside because at that time there were many, many bases over there. So just being able to experience all that, Oktoberfest, seeing it live and being part of that was exciting. You know, they have a thing they call Fasching over there that's very similar to the event they have at New Orleans.
Mardi Gras.
Right. Yes, I couldn't think of the name, but they call it Fasching. And so being an MP, I had to work that because we had military people there, and that was pretty exciting. And so, yeah, I got some pretty good stories we can tell on the way to the track. but it was good. I mean, for me, it was a great experience. I spent 3 years there. I learned a lot and really set the tone for me to really start my career after that.
Awesome. So one of the things that I was telling you earlier that I can't wait to pick your brain on, because one of the things that I always know that I'm going to get from you, whether it's LinkedIn, social media of any kind, a phone call, when we do get a chance to see each other, is you exude positivity and joy and enthusiasm. And I can't wait to find out where that not only came from, because I think sometimes in life, you know, some of the stuff that we come into this life with maybe changes, gets altered throughout your life, where depending on your situation, your circumstances, military, you know, I'm sure shapes some of that. But walk us through where that comes from, and where do you continue to fill your, you know, cup so that you can continue to fill others?
Sure. No, thanks. And really, for me, it probably started with my dad. My dad owned a gas station. At that time, it was a service station because they serviced all the cars, not only pump gas, but they did the whole thing. And I can remember him. He always whistled. And so even my classmates today always say they remember that because my father would be out in the pump and it'd be pouring rain and he'd be whistling. And, you know, even on his bad days, I don't remember him really having a bad day. He just always seemed to be very positive. And so for me, that just started there. And I think that's where the service part of really what we do in this business came for me, because I can remember on Christmas Day, my father would get calls from people. As you know, growing up in the Midwest, it can get pretty cold and people's cars wouldn't start. And people would call my father and say, hey, can you come help fix my car? And it happened on Christmas Day. And I know my mother gave him the look like, you're going. And yes, he did. He went over to the neighbor's house, helped them get their car started. And then he came back home. But I always just saw that in him through his whole life. And so with that, one of the things that I know you'll relate to, as I started at Pioneer Life, we used to get a newsletter from the Barnes Agency. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but on the your newsletter that you all sent, you would have something on the back, which would you called it the back page. And you always had some kind of inspirational story or quote. I would rip those off. And I'll have to tell you right now, I still have those in my file drawer.
I worked there
10 years, Joanne. I have files and files of those because I'm a big quote person and I'm very I love reading inspirational stories. And you would put different quotes throughout your newsletter, but you always had something on the back page. And I always ripped that back page off. And that really helped me. And of course, Dan was very positive and certainly motivating as well. And that just got me catapulted into that's the kind of what I want to exude as a person, as a professional. Because one of the things about growing up in a small town, and it's probably true other ways, but I don't have that experience. So my experience is a small town, but service, you treat people like you want to be treated. And that's how I grew up. And I don't think as I got older, that even became more important to me. Because and when you asked me if I was drawn to integrity, that drew me to integrity just by the name integrity. Mm-hmm. I was drawn by Brian Adams, but and I told Brian not too long ago, because I just hit my 10-year anniversary here at Integrity. And I said, hey, this really started with you talking to me, because that relationship and his story is what inspired me to be part of this. And, you know, being able to share that with others is just a privilege. And you know, being here talking to you today,
inspiring to me. That blows my mind, Alan. You've never said that to me in all these years. You've never told me. You've been waiting just for this podcast, right?
I have a file. As a matter of fact, we're moving into a new area here. I got a file. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with them, because as I go forward, that was very meaningful to me, especially early in my career, as you stated earlier. We were very young, and I was just really learning really the corporate world at that point, and the business world, because obviously being a police officer, you're not really exposed to the business world. So all that positivity just gravitated with me and just was something I wanted to adhere to and learn from. And you and Dan and your whole organization was really a part of that.
Wow. Oh, you're going to leave me speechless here. So one of the stories that reminds me of, I've told my staff this many times, when we've moved offices several times as we continue to grow and need a bigger office, need bigger space. And each time I've moved, up until about probably, 6, 7 years ago, I've always taken the same big old desk with me. And it was one of those big old, you know, humongous mahogany with, you know, three drawers on each side. And it meant something to me because it was my predecessor, the gentleman that actually hired me, not Dan, but a gentleman by the name of Bob Brown, who hired me when he retired. That was his desk. And so I don't know, I just always had this kind of weird, you know, voodoo thing that I thought I needed to keep that. Well, fast forward many years, don't need a big old desk. I wanted a stand-up desk. And it's literally just a table. So there was no place to put all the stuff that was in all these drawers. So I spent quite a bit of time, finally forced myself to sit down and take time and go through it. 99.9% of the stuff I threw away. It wasn't even, you know, old stuff, meaningless stuff, outdated stuff, stuff that's now on digital you don't need. The one thing I kept, Alan, is all of the handwritten notes that I had received over my career. And we have a beautiful thing here within our company of we encourage handwritten notes. In fact, we print them for people and we put them around. We've had different drops in the bucket that we call them over the years, the and then somes, the just, hey, if you notice something about somebody or you wanted to send an appreciation, we wanted to make it as easy as possible for our people to do that. So over the years, you know, as you can imagine, or if I would get a thank you note from you or a nice to see you note from you, that stuff, that's the only thing that mattered. Out of years and years and years and years and years of stuff in this big old desk, I have a pile like you that I have kept and it will be with me forever. And there's, you know, some beautiful handwritten notes in there by people like Mike White and Dan McNerney, who I've always looked up to in my career, my teammates over the years, my coworkers over the years, people that are no longer with us, people that are no longer in this industry, but those words mean something. And some of them were just, like you said, just positive affirmations, or just notes of appreciation. And so I can definitely relate to that. One other quick story along that line. My son was probably, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that. He was just getting really big into loving football. And I was sitting there with him and my husband, and we were watching the Heisman Trophy ceremony. And the kid that won that year, I don't even remember the name. I'm sure he could. But the kid that won that year, one of the things that he wanted to thank his mother for, which he went on and on and on about thanking his mother, which already put me over the edge. But one of the things that he wanted to thank her for was all the positivity in their home. He said she always had notes hung up on the fridge. She always had beautiful quotes on the wall. There were just notes and words of affirmation and positivity, he said, throughout our house. And it just kind of seeped in, I guess. So literally, I looked at my husband that minute. I'm like, okay, if our son's going to win the Heisman, I want notes of affirmation everywhere. I want positive words framed everywhere.
Oh, that's good. That's funny.
It seeps in without you knowing it or realizing it sometimes. And pretty soon, you know, that seek what you shall find, or, you know, all the things, all the quotes that there are of when you believe, when you read that enough and you ingest that enough, you start believing it and then you start sharing it with others. And I believe in all that very much.
Oh, I do too. And it's funny with having kids a little older, sometimes you wonder if they're even listening. But when they reflect on something that you said or they see in your life, you're like, wow, they did really get it. Yeah. And it is, you know, I think we don't always understand or realize the power of words. And once we know, you know, how powerful they are, the more positive words we can use, the better we all are. And I think it's just part of who we are. And that's, you know, again, you know, I kind of go back to what we're doing, but being part of this team, you know, these superstars that we get the privilege to work with every single day, it seems like I need to take a notebook every time I talk to one of them, because they always have something like a golden nugget that I need to write down so I remember it.
I know. I've thought about that too, of literally like going around with like a, you know, having my phone recording on of just to, and usually, and again, no disrespect toward them, a lot of times there isn't some great profound lesson that they're going to teach us. It's the basics of how you started this, of with your dad, of being in that service model, doing the right thing for people. My mother-in-law was a home health care nurse, and I remember many a Christmas mornings that we would kind of be frustrated because she wouldn't be there. And frustrated, you know what I mean, of just, kids are little and, you know, you had a plan and now all of a sudden she had to be called away. And then the second she gets home and tells us about where she's been, you know, we immediately felt guilty for you know, any complaint we had because she was with somebody that, you know, was not in our shoes and we were not in their shoes. And thank goodness there are people like your dad that would go, you know, get people unstuck or help them start their car. And those things are, it's, that's the beauty of this whole thing we're doing.
Well, it is. And, you know, I'll share a quick story. So when my father did pass away, one of the privileges I had was being at the wake, and one of the people I grew up with would come through and, you know, give their condolences. But many of the men that came through would shake my hand and say, "Your dad was a good man."
That's it.
That's
what we're going for.
Getting a little emotional just even talking about that, but that's true.
I know.
You know, that was impactful to me and powerful to hear because they got to experience it. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be able to be around it and see it.
Wow, that is beautiful. So let's get to the good stuff. Your family now. So one of the things that you and I, first thing we do when we see each other is usually pull out our phones and brag about which grandchild is doing right now. So talk about your boys and
sure. Baby. So let me talk about my wife first, Linda. We've been married 39 years.
Wow.
And making the big trip to Hawaii for our 40th next year.
Great.
So
we
both of us have not been to Hawaii, so that's going to be we're excited about that. I have two boys. One's married and two grandchildren, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then I got our youngest is a senior at University of North Texas and going through to be a physical therapist. So, he's trying to get through biology and anatomy right at the moment. So
hard.
All that good stuff. We have two grandchildren, a girl, Aubrey, that's 4. And a young man named Micah that's a year and a half and trying to be 4. And, you know, they're just, it's amazing. And as I'm sure you've experienced as well, just the little things that make them just light up and shine. I mean, just as simple as they were here for Thanksgiving and we put the Christmas lights on and lit them all up and then went out to the neighborhood and people had their Christmas lights on and they're just amazed at seeing those come on at night. And it's great to see those bright smiles and the twinkle in their eye. That's amazing.
Isn't that the best? So we had our 4-year-old granddaughter as well. Over the weekend, she got to spend the night Saturday night. And then Sunday, I wanted to start putting up Christmas stuff. And usually I always look forward to it, but somewhere along the line, it starts becoming a chore versus the reason for the season and the joy of it's a job. It's a lot of work and it just became a job, you know, at a certain point. Well, my 4-year-old is there and I wasn't sure. I asked her mom, my daughter, how she'd be. And she's like, "Oh, I think sure she'll love it for a few minutes anyway." So my husband's bringing up, you know, card or tote after tote after tote. This girl, I tell you what, Alan, I have a new fond memory now of decorating for Christmas. She was so into it. Everything she pulled out, even though I've seen it 100 times, was brand new to her. She was so excited. She would run around the house and try to put it in the right perfect spot. Move it over here. And oh my goodness. So you're absolutely right. You see things through their eyes that all of a sudden, like, okay, this is a pretty good gift we have here. This is not sure. So we'll have to get our 4-year-olds together. Now, are they close or where do they live?
They live down by San Antonio, so not too far away. A little better. They used to live a little farther away, so it wasn't quite as easy. And now being right in Texas, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, we could literally do this all day. One of the things that I do want to ask, though, before we close, is any kind of where you go for your inspiration. Is there a favorite book, a favorite song, a favorite hiking place? Where do you go to just kind of keep that? I know you said it surrounds you, but every now and then you got to keep filling up your cup. Where do you go for that?
Yeah, no, thanks. I listen to a lot of podcasts. It goes back for me. It started with John Maxwell. I read a lot of his books. Listened to a lot of his recordings. Zig Ziglar, back in the day, he was, I really got filled up with him early on.
We still have quotes all over our wall.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's so many that others
I'll just tell you a quick story. So I was at one of your sessions at your office, and you gave me a folder. It was blue, and in the inside folder, it said, if you help enough people get what they want in life, you'll get what you want. And to this day, to this day, I have that on my desk because it's really what I do and what we do here is in Integrity, helping people, whether it's clients, agents, partners like you, carriers, help them get what they want and you'll get what you want. And so Zig Ziglar, big part of that. I listen to Ed Milet as well. He has a podcast. And really, I take a lot of advice from partners that we work with because they'll listen to something and say, hey, did you hear this?
Right.
I'm like, no, but I'm going to go listen to it right now. Right. I travel a lot. So I have time on the planes and in cars to listen to that. And that's really where I get recharged. My face, a big part of who I am. And so on Sundays, that's a big part of me getting recharged as well. I belong to a good church, and hearing our pastor, he's, not only a biblical, but he's inspirational as well. And so that's all part of how I get fed for me.
Yeah. Well, you have now been that source for so many people today that are listening, and anywhere in your daily walks that you go, I know you are that for so many people. So I appreciate you very much. I'm so glad we finally got this on the calendar and got to do this. And
it's been my privilege. I was so excited when you asked me, Joanne, and we have such a history, and it's great to be able to spend some time with you, and I look forward to doing it in person.
Well, you're now on the Hall of Fame of Human Connection now, so you got some pretty good company.